Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. When thinking of wine pairings, falconry might not be the first thing that comes to mind, but an event this weekend is featuring live raptors as the backdrop to heavy hitters in the local wine, food, and music scene. Perch Fest will be taking place at Cannon in East Sacramento, a celebration of Perch Wine Company, which was founded by a Sacramento native. The event will feature local wine, of course, as well as live music from the Lab Rats and a memorable moment with West Coast Falconry, which will have raptors on the glove. But why, you might ask? For that answer, we welcome Adam Saki, the founder of Perch Wine Company. Hey, Adam.
Hey, what's going on, Vicky? So happy to be here.
So we are surrounded by wine regions. You have the foothills to the Delta, of course. You have those juggernauts of Napa and Sonoma. Why did you create Perch Wine Company?
Well, Perch Wine Company became a reality, a dream of mine after I'd sort of done many jobs in the wine industry. So, you know, I was in the service industry. I kind of briefly went down the kind of, Guild of Master Sommelier route. I had written some wine lists for some restaurants, and I just kind of realized that all of those jobs weren't really sort of the thing that I wanted to do with the rest of my life. I knew that wine was, my passion and was something that I was really in love with, but I just didn't really know where that was going to take me until I worked my first harvest. So I hadn't done that yet. So I worked my first harvest in 2016 in New Zealand and then came back to California, and I immediately worked another one in that same year. So Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, in El Dorado County. And it just clicked immediately, almost to the point where I was sort of embarrassed with myself. Like you love working with your hands. You love being outside.
Why did it take so long?
Why did it take so long to get here? So I actually worked my first internship when I was 33, and most interns are 23. So, but I showed those whippersnappers, how it's done.
Well, you got life experience.
Yeah, exactly.
You got more life experience, decade on them when it comes to that.
Yeah.
What is it about harvest and actually making wine that you find so gratifying?
I mean, it's such a visceral experience, and it's definitely, it's, first of all, it's working with your hands a lot, and there's many different sort of disciplines that are involved. It's not just fermentation, but it's, being out in the vineyard and paying attention to the weather and paying attention to what the vine is, is saying, and checking sugars and, that's during harvest. I mean, there's a full gamut of, things that happen in the vineyard during the year. Harvest is just sort of one point in the year, but, harvest is just really intense because it's sort of you're waiting all year, and then all of a sudden it's showtime, And so that's kind of how it is. You're sort of building up to this time of the year, and it's really intense because it's just every day. As I always say, wine doesn't care whether you're tired. Wine doesn't care whether you need a day off. Wine doesn't care whether you're busy. It's once fruit is ripe and you start bringing stuff into the cellar and fermentations begin, it's sort of like the marathon begins, and it's like head down, you're all in, you're everything in your being, every experience that you've had, all the wines you've made in the past, it's all accumulated in this one moment to sort of be like, okay, here we go. I got one shot at this, because it's not like other fermentations where, with beer, you can make another batch of beer, next week or in a month or whatever, but wine harvest happens once a year. So you got one chance to do it. And it's really sort of humbling when you think about it like that. If you're lucky, as a winemaker, you can have maybe 40 shots at making wine. That's pretty crazy to think about it like that. 40 to 50 shots at doing this one thing. And so you sort of really take that in and realize how special and important that is.
Where do you source your grapes from?
So in the beginning, I was, kind of just sourcing fruit from Amador, because I cut my teeth up in El Dorado, and when I started to get into wine, I was tasting wines from different producers up there, and I really realized the potential of what was going on up there. It was really clear to me that there were a lot of great vineyards up there, a lot of old vine vineyards in particular that produce really fantastic wines, and so I just sort of immediately gravitated towards that region, and then I worked a harvest and then a full season there at a winery in Amador, and then kind of launched Perch like immediately afterwards. So it just kind of felt like this very natural transition. Like I've already been up here. I've already been working with these vineyards and some of these producers, and so it just was a very natural kind of fit to just start making the Amador wines. And then after a couple vintages, making my wines in West Sacramento at the old historic Harbor Winery, which is now occupied by Craig Harmeyer and Harmeyer Wine Cellars. You know, Charles Meyer's wines were a huge influence on me. You know, obviously he was working with Amador County fruit long before anybody else was. And so I moved out of that facility and I moved into a facility in Lodi. And so, you know, it was just sort of like, hey, you know, I'm in Lodi and I know there's some great vineyards here and I've had some really fantastic wines from some of my favorite producers. And so, again, it was just like, it's just sort of, you know, going with the flow and just sort of like path of least resistance in terms of just going like, hey, this, like, here's what's in front of me and here's what's around me. And so let's start to work with some Lodi fruit. And then, and I kind of held off for a while, to make anything from Clarksburg, not for any particular big reason, but I was just kind of married to Amador and Lodi. But this vintage, I actually pulled a little bit of Clarksburg Chenin Blanc. So now I'm in the Clarksburg AVA Amador and Lodi. So that's exciting.
That must be a lot of fun, you know, going from the Sierra foothills down to the Delta, down to Lodi in the Central Valley, which can be, you know, a little hotter. That must be a lot of fun for you to play with and toy around with for your vintages.
Oh my gosh, it's so much fun. I mean, you know, the life of a winemaker is not for everybody. You know, I do a lot of driving, but you know, you're working for yourself, and it's like, you're right, it's very rewarding to be in these, like, you know, if you're making wine from a wine growing region, you're most likely in a really beautiful place. There's a lot of really beautiful sunrises and sunsets, and there's a lot of really long days, and you see a lot of really, really interesting, cool things. It's definitely something that I really enjoy. And so it definitely fits with my personality majorly, but yeah, it's fun to play around with different AVAs. I mean, there's some winemakers out there that, you know, they make wine from, you know, 5, 6, 7 different appellations. And so, I mean, their schedules are crazy. They're driving, you know, all over California from north to south to source fruit. So I'm just one person, so I got to keep it, you know, within, you know, 35 to 45 miles of Sacramento to kind of just keep my sanity. So yeah.
Where can, I guess first off, how would you describe your wine to someone who hasn't tried it?
I think that, yeah, the way to sort of describe my wines is maybe to talk about what it isn't. And so, you know, one of the hallmarks of my wines is that I don't use any new oak. And it's not a dogmatic approach necessarily. There's a lot of different factors as to why I don't use new oak. So it's a flavor profile that I don't enjoy in the current selections of wines that I'm making. And then it's also very expensive to work with new oak every single year. And I try to keep the pricing on my wines really low so that they're accessible to more people. So, you know, all the wines are sort of, you know, under $30, you know, $25 to $28 a bottle. And so, you know, a new oak barrel can cost, you know, $1,000 or more. And so when you're doing that every single year, that like really starts to add up in terms of like your cost of goods, you know, to make wine. So I use neutral barrels. So there's not a lot of flavor from those barrels. So it allows for the vineyard to just sort of like speak for itself. And there's nothing really getting in the way of that. You know, the wines are also just very simply made. So I don't necessarily I don't associate myself or call myself a natural winemaker, but I do check some of those boxes in the sense that, you know, the wines are native fermentation, which means I'm not inoculating with commercial yeast, and I don't add any enzymes, and I really don't add very much to the wine at all. So just kind of just picking really great vineyard sites and fermenting them very simply. And you have to, it doesn't mean you do nothing. In fact, I think a lot of people think that minimal intervention winemaking or natural winemaking means that you don't do anything. And it's actually quite the opposite. If you want to make natural wines or minimal intervention wines, there's actually a lot of attention that goes mm-hmm. into that. It's it takes a lot to do nothing with your wines to make them very simply, because you have to really sort of be on top of a lot of sanitation and temperature control and all these things. So that's sort of how I make the wines, and I've really enjoyed the expression of the vineyards, like when the wines are made like that. And it was challenging to actually find examples of that from Lodi and Amador when I first started making wine. And now, you know, 5, 6 years later, 10 years later, I guess, you know, since I started sort of tasting some of those wines more seriously, you can find many more examples of that. So it's definitely something I gravitate towards a little bit more.
Well, people can try it in the flesh at Perch Fest
exactly.
on Sunday.
Exactly.
So what can people expect?
Well, I mean, first of all, like, Perch Fest is a party. You know, I always try to, like, be very, very clear about this because I don't want people to think that it's like a wine tasting or it's this like very serious kind of sit down thing, or it's something that is only for, you know, people who like sort of quote unquote know something about wine. It's a party, you know, and that's how I like to share my wines. And it's the way that I most successfully share my wines is when you strip down all of sort of like the stuffiness and the hard to access points of wine drinking and understanding wine, and really just sort of remind people that like wine is a beverage. It's an agricultural product. It's delicious. It's fun. It's something that people sort of incorporate in their lives on a daily or weekly or monthly basis. And so Perch Fest is a party. And so it's a day party, starts at noon, goes till 4. Then we have a little after party from 4 to 5 to let the restaurant kind of get ready for service because they are a working restaurant. And so, you know, there's live music. So we have the Lab Rats. A fantastic kind of like, I don't know, I don't want to call them like an avant-garde jazz band, but they're, you know, they're definitely not your average sort of like straight ahead jazz group. And they're just amazingly talented. I mean, these guys have played at some of the best venues around the country. And they're super talented. Third year we've had them because they're just so great. We have to have them back, kind of like the Perch House band at this point, if you will. And then I also have DJ Rock Bottom. And so John's just a great guy. I've known him for a long time. Used to play music with him back in the day. And he's just an amazing DJ, so he's going to be DJing. And then we have, you know, food from Canon, which is always fantastic. Don't even have to ask them what they're cooking. I just go, great, sounds good. And then we'll talk about the birds last. But and then I also have Vern, Heart of Vern. She's this amazing artist, graphic designer, and she's doing live silk screening.
Very cool.
Yeah, so she's going to be we gave her the poster and she turned it into a monotype, and so she is working on the screens probably as we're talking, and so she's going to be silk screening posters onto the poster image onto shirts.
So where did Falcons get a starring role in all of this? Falconry.
Well, so first of all, I'm a bird nerd. I love birds. I'm a bird watcher. Shout out to all my bird watchers out there. You know, but I'm sort of an amateur bird watcher, and it's just been something that I've really enjoyed and it's been part of my life for about 12 years now, kind of off and on. And so it just was part of the story. So that's kind of the short answer with where Perch Wine Company came from and some of the imagery on the labels. And then, but it actually goes further back because, you know, when I used to work for the YMCA many years ago in another life, and, you know, for 5 years, and every year I would bring out the California Raptor Center, and they would bring birds to the childcare site, and the kids would just go nuts, you know, because they see this bird that they would probably have never seen up close before. And turns out that doesn't change as you become an adult.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the magic and the sort of awe and really sort of cool factor of seeing an owl or a Swainson's hawk or a, an American kestrel or, you know, any of those raptors up close, you really don't get a chance to do that very often because usually they're sort of in the distance or on a telephone pole or flying by. But when you really get to look at them up close, it's like it really sort of changes the way that you feel about that thing, about the birds. And I think that really sort of contributes to bringing more awareness to sort of conservation and bringing more awareness to like the love of nature and how we should. You know, protect those spaces and protect these birds. And so so it goes back even further. I've actually been doing this I've been bringing birds to people for a long time. So that's the long answer. So
thank you so much, Adam. Yeah. I can attest to that. When I got up close to a bald eagle, it's like one of the most magical moments of my life. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah.
Adam Saki is a founder of Perch Wine Company and the annual Perch Fest. It happens this Sunday, November 2nd at Canon in East Sacramento. It includes wine tasting, live music featuring the Lab Rats and Falconry. Hello, Raptors. We have more information on our Insight page. That's it for Insight today. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.